Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams,
and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or condition or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
Children's ministry, you are excused.
I come here today, as in most weeks, saying grace to you from God the Father and peace from God the Son. To each and every one of you be multiplied this morning. Today we continue our series in the... If I can get someone to close that door over there. Today we continue our series on the Wilderness Tabernacle, Finding Christ in the Wilderness Tabernacle. If you would please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 30. We'll begin in verse 11 in just a moment. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles all over the sanctuary, whether in digital or printed format, please hold them up. Amen. I want you to know that there is not a more powerful position for a born-again believer than to declare the Word of God and the authority and the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. That word author is the root word for the word authority. So therefore He is also the authority and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Aleph and the Tav. He is the first and the last. There is spiritual warfare going on all about us. The enemy is in a fight with you. But I want you to understand that this fight is rigged. It's not even a fair fight, because armed with the truth of God's Word, understanding Romans 8:31, which says, if God is for us, who can stand or be against us? We know that we are conquerors through Christ Jesus. What did David say when he saw Goliath? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? And so, Living Hope Church, I want you to know that if you are a born-again believer, that you are a member in the army of the living God. And though the world comes against us, no one can stand against the truth of God's Word. And we can look out and say, who is this world that they think they can defy the Word of God? My wife and I, as I said earlier, went to Washington, D.C. this past week. And as we looked around there, it is amazing what a den of sin and iniquity it has become as you look around in some of the places there. You know, and it's very easy to begin to get discouraged when you see those kinds of things. But you know what? Joshua, in Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9, he says, bury these words of the law upon your heart. Do not fear. Be of good cheer. For our Lord goes with us wherever we go. And so today, as we preach from God's Word, as we preach from the living water of the Word of God, you may today feel sometimes like I'm going to give you a sip of that living water from a fire hydrant. But I want you to know that the Word of God is rich and deep, and it's a hymn book. It is all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that we see and we do in the Word of God, we see this. And so in Exodus chapter 30, we should have verses 11 and 12 up on the screen. I'm going to read through the first five verses, however. Pardon me. Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 through 15. We may have 11 and 12 up on the screen. If you're there in the Word of God, please say amen. Amen. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when you take the census of the children of Israel, for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord. When you number them, that there shall be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give. Half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more than the poor, shall not give less than half a shekel when you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. You see that the rich and the poor alike, the ransom for their souls, the ransom for their privilege of worshiping in the tabernacle was the same price. Remember that as we go through today's message. We are studying, as I said before, the wilderness tabernacle. And the wilderness tabernacle consisted of three areas. It was rectangular in shape. It was 75 feet across by about 150 feet deep. And it illustrates three primary truths. And by the way, of that 75 by 150, there was an inner tent on the inside that was 15 feet by 45 feet. I illustrated last week that the 15 feet is about a foot wider than these chairs here in the center. And the 45 feet would go from the platform to the back chair back there. And it was 15 feet tall. And so that was how big this tent was that you see right here in the tabernacle model today. But the tabernacle consisted of three areas, the outer court, the inner court, and the innermost court. And it had three primary truths which we discovered last week. First, it is a description of deity. It is all about Jesus Christ. It's a blueprint of the believer, the body, the soul, the spirit. And it is also, through God's teaching, shows us that it is a shadow of the salvation that is to come. Now, there was furniture within the tabernacle. It had a gate that we came through. It only had one way in, into the tabernacle. And the gate was to the east. And friends, in this sanctuary, which way is east? Back here. Isn't it interesting that this opening right here is 30 feet across? And as you come in through the gate, isn't it interesting what is right here on this eastern wall? So as you came in through the gate, you came first to the brazen, the sacrifice. The brazen altar of sacrifice. And as you came to that brazen altar of sacrifice, that was the place where the blood was shed. It's still that way today. There is no way to get into the Holy of Holies, which is the destination for us to go, than through the blood sacrifice of the living of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after you came past the brazen altar, you came, which is missing today, but you came to the basin. That where you would they would ritually wash and cleanse themselves. And that does not talk about baptism. It's more about the Word of God, the cleansing and the washing by the Word of God. And then as you came up and went inside the first 30 feet of the tent, on the north, the right-hand side, was the showbread. And it shows that Christ is our sustenance. He is the living Word. He feeds our hearts and souls. To the south or the left side was the golden lampstand. It had seven points on it. And we discussed last week it had the one tall point in the middle and the six on the two sides. The one is a sign of unity. There is one God and there is none other like our Lord God. And but the six candles on the two sides also six is the number of man. But also, what most people didn't see, and when we get to the candlestick, I'm just going to give you a little preview. It also forms the ends of three crosses. So remember that when we get to the golden lampstand. And as you came through the inner court, you came to the altar of incense. It's a place where Christ is our supplication. We have Christ our showbread. He is the bread of life. We have Christ our light. He lightens up our world. You come to the altar of supplication where the prayers of the saints are lifted up. Only then, after going through these different things, was the priest and only the priest once a year allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat was. What an amazing thing. Now I'm going to go through this every single week so that by the time we get to the 10th week, you guys are going to go, "Got it, Pastor." But for the rest of your lives, you'll have it. Amen? And so it's such a wonderful thing that we learn these things as we go along. And so, Christ our sight, Christ our sustenance, the Holy of Holies, where the very Shekinah glory of God dwelt, Christ our satisfaction. And one day, every tear will be dried. We'll be in heaven. There'll be no more pain. And we will be totally, 100% satisfied. Today, we are going to be talking about the structure of the tent itself. The structure. And there are 3 points with a whole bunch of little sub-points. So if you have your notepads with you, or you guys that have the magic thumbs, like Miss Laura over here with her smartphone, you get ready to take your notes. Our first point today is we see the wonder of the foundation. The wonder of the foundation. If you have your Bibles, please open it to Exodus chapter 26, verse 19. 26, verse 19. We're going to use our Bibles a lot today, mainly here in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 26, verse 19. If you're there, say amen. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. It's 2 tenons. Now turn back to Exodus chapter 38. Same book, Exodus chapter 38. We're going to read verses 25 through 27. If you have a paper Bible, if you're in Exodus chapter 38, verse 25, please say amen. And the silver from those who were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A beka for each man, that is half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone included in the numbering from 20 years old and above, for 603,550 men. And from the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary, and the bases of the veil, 100 sockets from the 100 talents, 1 talent for each socket. We see that the foundation of this entire tent, as you see it right here, the 15 by 45, the foundation of this entire tent rested on 100 blocks of pure silver. 100 blocks of 100 pounds each, roughly. 100 times 100 is 10,000 pounds, 2,000 pounds to the ton, 5 tons of silver that these guys were lugging around through the desert. 5 tons of silver. Can you imagine that? Listen, it wasn't the desert at D.C., but Miss Ruth Ann and I and Cheyenne, we didn't want to lug around ourselves because it was so warm. But while we're on the subject, this was a tent. When was the last time anyone ever went camping, set up their tent on a nice silver foundation? No, what do? You take your tent, you set up it in the dirt, and you go swim or something. It's a place to keep the rain off of you. Stick it in the sand, put some stakes, go to sleep. But God is teaching a very special lesson here. And there's 3 quick points about the silver. First is that the source of the silver. The source of the silver, we read, was a required tax. When you understand this, where this silver came from, then you will understand the significance and the symbolism of it. If you please turn to Exodus chapter 30, verse 11. Exodus chapter 30, verse 11. If you're there, please say amen. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses. We read this already. I'm going to read it again. Saying, when you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord. When you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. This is a commanded census by the Lord. Much different than when David took the census later after he became king. Anybody remember what happened there? He took a census that was not commanded of the Lord because he wanted to see how much he had as opposed to what the Lord wanted, and a plague broke out and it was terrible for the children of Israel. This is a commanded ransom. Now the word ransom, I want you to understand, and atonement as they use here are very, very important. And by the way, if you remember my series, my message on the Ark, Noah's Ark, Do you know what the other word for the atonement or ransom is? Pitch. Remember, Noah was commanded to cover the ark. But that word pitch is the same word as atonement and ransom that we see right here. Now, the tabernacle itself was built of a love offering. The tabernacle itself was built of a love offering. Flip over to chapter 25 quickly. Chapter 25. Verse 1 and 2. Chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. If you're there, say amen. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it, what? Willingly, with his heart, you shall take my offering. The tabernacle was built with a free will offering. People gave out of their own hearts. The offering for the foundation required. Every single person was required to give and pay a half a shekel. Very interesting. And if it wasn't paid, there was no atonement. We'll see why later. Second, first we saw the source of the silver, which was a required tax. Second, we see the symbolism of the silver. Atonement and redemption. Where is atonement and redemption found in Scripture? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no atonement. There is no ransom. There is no redemption apart from Christ. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 says that we are not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. So we saw the source of the silver. We saw the symbolism of the silver. Third, we see the significance of the silver. Its preciousness ties it to the blood of Jesus. If you got it, say amen. Its preciousness ties it to the blood of Jesus. The entire tabernacle rested on the foundation of redemption and atonement. Now listen closely. The foundation itself, the silver, sat on the desert floor. Amen? Amen? Talk back at me. I'll have to go back. And by the way, I asked the praise team to pray for me today. My eye is watering real bad. And that could be bad news because I will not shorten the message. It'll just take me longer to get there. So you guys keep me in prayer. And all God's children said,
amen.
There we go. Now we're back on track. The foundation sat on the desert sand. The tent sat upon the silver foundation. You got that? Okay, not the sand. What's my point? Too many lives, too many churches are not built upon the truth of the blood of Jesus Christ. They are preaching a false gospel. They're preaching a prosperity gospel. Everything's wonderful and happy, and God has a wonderful plan for you. He does have a wonderful plan for you. His plan is to get you into heaven by glorifying Him and His Son. And therefore, those that don't build upon the blood of Christ, the silver of the foundation, have built upon the sand. And as we read in the Gospels, what happens when the storm comes? The sand is blown away. It's washed away. And one day they will be blown away. Even though they may say, but Lord, I did this, I did that. The Lord Jesus will say, depart from me, you son of iniquity. I know you not. They fail to understand just what the blood of Jesus Christ stands for. And most people have never understood why Peter called it the precious blood. On the screen we should have a... Do we have a... No, we don't. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, folks. It'll take the pastor a moment to get here. I meant to put this on the screens, but it's always better if we turn in our Bibles. Amen? There we go. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Don't skimp over that. Let's go back and read that again. Look closely at what the Word of God says. Second half, it says, has made you overseers to shepherd the church of who? God, which He, talking about God, has purchased with His, who's Him? God, own blood. Whose blood was poured out at the cross? The blood of God Himself. It was His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross, but it was the blood of God that was shed on the cross. The Father determines the blood of the child. If you know that mom, say amen. The Father determines the blood of a child. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, Scripture says, was accomplished by who? The Holy Spirit of God. Who's the Father? God. And the blood that was given as a ransom on Calvary was precious blood because it's the blood of God Himself. It's not the blood of man. So we see the tabernacle built upon silver, representing the atoning blood of Almighty God Himself. Next we look at the walls of the foundation. The walls of the foundation. Exodus chapter 26. Now stay with me while I read here for just a moment. I'm going to read 15 verses, picking up at verse 15. If you're there, please say amen. Alright, that was two people. Let's try that again. If you're there, say amen. All right. Exodus 26:15. I'm reading through verse 30. You're going to go, good Lord, Pastor Larry, this is a lot of Scripture. Amen. We need more of this. And for the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits. 10 cubits is about 15 feet. Shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle, and you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle westward, you shall make 6 boards. And you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. Right about here, most people are going, okay, Lord, I got it. Lord is being very specific, isn't He? And you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the far side westward. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. That's going horizontally. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings. Pay close attention to that. You shall overlay the boards with what? Make their rings of? As holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with? And you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. Now why did I just go through all of that? After the 5-ton silver atoning foundation is laid, the walls of the structure begin to come up. And there's 4 points about these boards. First we see the cutting of the boards. In verse 15 we saw what? In the tabernacle you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. To get the boards from the acacia wood, what do you have to do with the acacia wood? You have to cut it down, amen? How are boards made? You cut down the tree. In Scripture, trees always represent humanity. Got it? In Scripture, trees always represent humanity. Human beings. Psalm 1:3 says that a righteous man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in his season. And there in the tabernacle walls, God is symbolizing humanity, which will rest upon the silver foundation which represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got it? We're getting there, right? Friends, before a man's heart can be built into the house of God, the truth of God's Word needs to cut him down. I'm going to say that again. Before a man's heart can be built into a house of God, the truth of God's Word needs to cut him down and reshape him into the supporting walls of the church, the tabernacle. Secondly, not only the cutting of the boards, we see the covering of the boards. In verse 29, you shall overlay the boards with gold. You shall overlay the boards with gold. While the wood speaks of humanity, the gold speaks of glory. It speaks of deity. And so here is wood overlaid with gold, which represents those of us that have rested upon the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Isn't that good? Therefore, we receive the golden covering that God has given us. But my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is also pictured by these boards because He took on the wood of our humanity. He came and was incarnate into us so that through accepting Him as Savior, we may take on the gold of deity. When you get to... I was looking for a testimony. I might have to give my own here. When you get saved, based upon the silver foundation, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God cuts you down, and you are fashioned into the purpose for which God has made you, you are overlaid with the gold of His holiness and His deity. When God looks at you, if you're a born-again believer, He doesn't see you, He sees His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The board, overlaid with the gold of deity. So that as we receive a new nature from above, the carnal wood cut down, reshaped into the image God intends for us, set on the silver atoning foundation of Christ. Third, the configuration of the boards. Verse 19. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. When you think of tenons, just think feet or hands, but clenched like this. So that the silver base, we'll go through this on Wednesday, the silver base had notches for it. And so these silver tenons would come and fit into that silver. The pieces on the bottom of the board would sit into there. Kind of like Lincoln Logs. You know, you have your notches on it? That's how it goes in there. So the wood cut down, covered in gold, with 2 tenons feet that rest upon the silver foundation. Listen to me. Both of those feet rest on the silver foundation that God's provided. Christians, both of your feet are to be set upon the foundation of the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try to have 1 foot in the silver and 1 foot in the sand. Far too many Christians try to live the Christian life on Sunday and the worldly life throughout the week. All you're going to get with that is a wall that falls down. Both feet are to be placed safely and firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing is that all the boards were of equal height. You got it? All of the boards were of equal height. How many times has Pastor Larry said that there is no such thing? We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but you don't then have the Pope or Billy Graham or the elders, the pastors, the deacons working down the list. No, you don't have that. All of the boards are the same length. We all have a part in this structure called the Church of Christ. And so we are all equal in the sight. We are all equal in the importance of what we are doing in this church. So we got God. We got us that have been saved with our feet firmly planted in the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives overlaid by the gold of deity because we have been cut and fashioned by the Word of God. If you believe in that, say amen. Amen. Third, we see the connection of the boards, verses 26 and verse 27. Now, this is really interesting. 5 bars for the boards, pardon, 26. And you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the far side westward. And then it says, then the middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. It means it's running horizontally there. Amen? Okay. You guys are doing good. You're sticking with me. I know this is a lot of information. I could spend literally the next 2 years preaching just on what we're talking about today. But just listen to this. The boards are standing up straight all around. Amen? Equal heights. Feet set in the foundation. But now we see horizontal bars running around. 5 horizontal bars. The boards represent believers who have been born again, cut off from the old life. We've talked about that. Standing with each other. But we have 5 strengthening bars that run around the sanctuary that hold the walls together. What does that mean? Please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. verse 19. We're getting there, guys. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. If you're there, say amen. Ephesians, the crown jewel of the Pauline epistles. 19 through 22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Starting to get the feeling here? In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also were being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Christ the foundation. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Larry, you're talking about five boards here. Where does that come in? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It should be, if you have a Bible like mine, it's on page 1029. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. The strengthening of the walls are the five leadership ministries of the church. In the early days, we had the apostles and we had the prophets. That's one and two. Today, we have the evangelists, three. The pastors, those men called to shepherd a single flock. Four, teachers of the Word of God, whether it's the pastor or the nursery teachers and the infant care. These are the five strengthening foundations of our temple that hold it all together. Teaching the Word of God. And God has given these leaders to unify and strengthen the church so that the sheep are not blown about and scattered in a storm. So first, the foundation of silver, the blood of Christ. Second, the walls of gold covered with wood, with both feet solidly resting in the foundation of atonement. Not trying to stand on two foundations. Third, our third point today, the weighted cover above the foundation. Please go back to Exodus chapter 26 quickly, as we're working our way and winding down through this. Exodus chapter 26. Exodus 26, verse 1. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. Anybody recognize those colors? Has Pastor Larry ever talked about the four colors? Amen. Okay. Friends, this was on the inside. The pictured Christ in all of His beauty. And illuminated by the seven-pronged golden candlestick, you would see this beautiful needlework and these amazing colors. First, there was the white linen. Linen and white stands for pureness and holiness in the Word of God. It's a picture of the sinless Jesus Christ. We also see the color of blue. In Scripture, blue speaks of heaven or the inheritance of heaven. Not only is Jesus pure, holy, and sinless, but He is the Son of God from heaven. Then there is the purple, which is the color that sovereign kings wore in those days. Jesus Christ is our sovereign King. And the final color is scarlet, the color of sacrifice and blood. The sinlessness of the Savior, white. The sonship of the Savior, the blue. The sovereignty of the Savior, the purple. The sacrifice of the Savior, the scarlet. And these colors are found within the four Gospels of Jesus Christ. First, you have the Gospel of Matthew, which is all about Christ the King, the sovereign King, the color of purple. Next, you have the Gospel of Mark, which is about the suffering servant, Christ, who died on the cross and suffered for our sin. The scarlet, the red. Third, we have the Gospel of Luke, which is all about Christ the Son, the inheritor of heaven. That's the blue gospel. How do you get the color purple? You mix red and you mix blue. You cannot get purple with a little bit of red and a bunch of blue. You must have equal sacrifice, red, and equal inheritor of heaven, blue, in order to make Christ the King in heaven. The Gospel of John is the white gospel, all about Christ, deity. The sinless Son of God. The cherubim, you can see them right here in this tent if you look later, are angelic creatures in reference to the holiness of God. Every bit of all of that stuff was hidden to those people from the outside. But once they came inside, they saw the beauty of it. You see, when a person dwells within his tent, when a person lives within Christ, when a person tabernacles with Jesus Christ, we learn that He is truly our security. The first layer on the inside was a linen curtain. You can see it rolled back there. That pictures Christ, our security. Then there's a goat hair layer. Goat hair? Why goat hair? Well, for you Bible geek guys, how many of y'all been in church all your life, gone to Sunday school and all your life? Come on, guys. Oh, yeah, three of you. I know better than that. All right. I'm not going to ask you any questions. You can put your hand down. I'm not going to ask you a question. How many have been in church all their life? There you go. All right. If you remember in the old, if you remember from your Sunday school days, that in the old days, whenever the priest would take a goat and he would lay the sins of the people upon that goat, what was it called? A scapegoat. And he would send it out. The goat's hair represents the scapegoat. Christ took our sins. He was our scapegoat. Our sins were laid upon Him and He took them away. Matter of fact, Psalm 103:12 says our transgressions have been removed as far as from the east is from the west. Then it had ram skin. Ram skin is not normally red, but it was dyed red here at the command of God. Just like Christ went to the cross at the command of God the Father. Pretty amazing stuff. Christ is our substitute, but more next week on that. From the outside, you would never see the linen, you would never see the goat skin, you would never see the ram skin, you would never ever see the cherubim, you would never see that. You would see what is called a badger skin. Now, if you were here on Wednesday night, we talked about this. I may have mentioned it last week. It's an entirely, totally difficult word to translate. Almost impossible, in fact. But the best usage is probably sea cow or porpoise. Okay? And how did they get porpoise or sea cow out there in the desert? Well, they were at Mount Sinai, which is down on the tip of Sinai, which is right next to the ocean. Dried out, it would be extremely unattractive. Isaiah 53, verse 2. The prophet Messiah said that in the Messiah there was no beauty found in Him. Nothing that would desire us to look at Him. I'm going to say that again. Scripture says that speaking of the Messiah in Isaiah 53, 2, the prophet said that there was no beauty found in Him. Nothing that we would desire to look at. Like the badger skin, Jesus may not have been much to look like while He was here on earth. And He certainly was a horror to behold as He hung upon the cross. But when we come inside and look, we see the beauty. We see the magnificence. We see the holiness of God. Friends, Christ, like the badger skin, takes the storms of life for us. The suffering servant. He is Christ our security. He is Christ our sin bearer. He is Christ our substitution. He is Christ the suffering servant. He is the white Christ of purity. He is the purple Christ of royalty and sovereignty. He is the blue Christ of divinity. He is the red Christ of Calvary. All of these coverings represent Jesus Christ, who tabernacled, who dwelt among us. But the only way to see the beauty is to accept Christ as Savior and Lord. I finish this message the same way I began it. May the grace of God the Father and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied in your life to the glory of God the Father. And all God's children said, every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.